BBC Newcastle, radio for the North East.
Somebody's just messaged me, terrified.
Whether that was
the dancing and the music.
Just after 20 past eight, it promised to create a political earthquake, and certainly UKIP has changed the electoral landscape in recent years and is one factor making the general election extremely unpredictable.
But where did UKIP come from? And what are the challenges that the party faces as it attempts to win more seats in Parliament? So as part of our series, Profiling Political Parties, we're going to take a look. We are, of course, joined by BBC Newcastle's political reporter, Fergus Hewison, who's done all the hard work. Where has UKIP come from?
Well, really, it was created in response to the Maastricht Treaty, that 1992 treaty designed to bring about closer European political integration. Now, to critics, that was a big step towards a superstate federalism. UKIP bubbled under after that, but perhaps its recent rise really began when it did very well in the 2009 European elections, with the second largest number of MEPs elected from this country. But in 2010, there was a bit of a surprise at the general election. It then polled poorly, but then came a shift, possibly quite a seismic one. Mr Farage came back as leader after a spell away, and the party tapped into disenchantment over immigration, with Westminster politics and EU membership. And that resulted last year in it winning more seats in the European Parliament than any other UK party, including getting its first North East MEP.
And there was electoral success a little closer to home as well.
Well, yes, yeah, absolutely. UKIP came second in parliamentary by-elections in South Shields, you may remember, in Middlesbrough and Hayward and Middleton areas where they'd not done well before. And then, of course, came the defections of the Conservatives, Douglas Carswell and Mark Reckless. They then won respective by-elections as UKIP candidates. Now, recently, of course, we've seen consistent polls putting UKIP in third place in the low mid to mid-teens ahead of the Lib Dems.
Is it true to say, then, that the other political parties underestimated UKIP?
Well, remember David Cameron labelled UKIP as fruitcakes and loonies, and he dismissed the party out of hand, pretty much. And Labour saw it, I think, as a party that wouldn't affect them. That was a problem for the right. Now, on both counts, that was mistaken, according to Dr. Rob Ford, who's an expert on UKIP and an author of a book charting the party's rise called Revolt on the Right.
The Conservatives had tended to regard it as essentially, you know, core Conservative voters who are a bit upset about Europe and immigration. So if you just offer them a referendum, they'll all come back. They failed to realise that it's a much deeper, much more fundamental sense of dislocation that's driving UKIP voting. And that a lot of the Conservative 2010 voters who went over to them were not actually, you know, lifelong Tories. The Labour Party, on the other hand, very much sort of almost encouraged UKIP support at the beginning because they thought of it as a split on the right. What they've seen since the South Shields by-election, when UKIP came a strong second, and certainly since the Hayward and Middleton by-election, when UKIP nearly won in a core Labour seat, is that actually UKIP have the capacity to be a big threat to Labour.
Well, the view of one expert there who studied UKIP very closely, and certainly UKIP itself thinks it's been underestimated. I spoke to Geoffrey Titford, a former UKIP MEP and now president of the party, the closest thing, I think you might say, to a grandee that UKIP has. This is his view.
I think at one stage they treated us extremely badly and tried to ridicule us. Well, they can't do that any longer because we are beginning to eat into their vote now. And that stands for both the Conservative and the Labour. In fact, I mean, it's going to be going for the Labour vote in the North East, not the Conservative one that we should be aiming for there.
We have to mention the R word here, racism. This is a charge frequently levelled at UKIP, basically that the party is either xenophobic, at least, or racist.
Well, yes, that's the accusation, of course, made against them, hotly disputed by UKIP itself. But it is something that some people believe in. And here's what some people said to me when I talked to them about UKIP.
Not what we need, to be honest.
What is it about them that doesn't appeal to you?
Farage. He's a clown in disguise in my eyes.
I'm second generation in this country myself, Polish origin, so I'm not a fan.
I don't know much about UKIP, but I don't think they're going to be a good party to lead Britain.
If I say to you UKIP, what springs to mind? What do you think of?
Racist.
And why do you feel they're racist?
Because it's quite a xenophobic opinion from themselves in terms of keeping the foreign people out who bring so much to this country.
Now, UKIP says simply articulating legitimate concerns about immigration and the changes and challenges for society that could present, as it claims it does, is in no way racist. Here's UKIP Party President Geoffrey Titford again.
Immigration is a great problem. We in the South here have witnessed it for some long period of time. It has driven down wages in this area, in the South, and that, of course, affects the people who have been living here all along. And it's mostly the lower-paid people that are suffering. But I understand now that the immigration thing is moving northwards. Therefore, it will come into the northeast region very soon if it hasn't reached there by now.
So how does UKIP answer the criticism that leaving the EU, which it wants to do, would harm our region in particular?
Well, yes, particularly this region, critics say, because we export an awful lot and we have firms like Nissan doing that.
We're the only one with this positive balance of trade.
Exactly right, yes. Well, quite simply, UKIP says that wouldn't be the case. Here's a view of Geoffrey Titford once more.
Exports will not change. You will still get exports. This is a scare story they put out that we won't be doing any trade with the European Union countries. That is rubbish because, quite frankly, the European Union sells us more than they buy from us now. So that is one reason why there won't be any changes.
And Fergus, is it possible that we've already reached what some have described as peak UKIP?
Well, yes, that's a good question. A strange phrase, a good question. Remember the SDP, for instance, the Social Democratic Party in the 1980s? Well, at one stage, it experienced incredible poll ratings, 50% at one point. It was going to win the elections if you looked at what it was doing then. Sounds familiar to some extent. But that level of support in the polls for the SDP just didn't materialise into seats at general elections. And the rest is, of course, history. A good reminder, of course, that polls can be wrong. But UKIP claims it does have strength in depth. It has councillors, MEPs, and has seen MPs elected in the last parliament. So it thinks it will remain a political force.
Thank you very much, Fergus. Fergus Hewison there about UKIP. So you've been getting a rundown of all the main parties ahead of the general election. The Green Party, actually, we're going to hear from them in the next half hour as well.